Hi, it's Pete Brown, and I'm here with Henry Sowers-Rall, and we're going to talk a little bit about expression design and some of the interesting things that Henry and folks have done here to make it work with bridging the C++ and WPF world. So, Henry, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, what you've done here, and let's just have at it.
Sure. Why don't I focus on the topic? So, I'm an architect on expression, and I kind of own the core technologies. The sorts of things that we've done are trying to make a uniform look across all the products to make it really be a studio. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you need to do a couple of things. You not only have to have everything working, but you'd like everything to look similar and act similarly.
Right.
And that can be challenging when you've got products that you've brought in that may have been written in various different ways.
Right. So the different parts of expression, some were built here, some were purchased. Like the pedigree that I think Expression Blend was all built in-house, right?
Expression Blend was built here.
And design was what?
Design was built, was an acquisition. It used to be called Expression from Creature House. It was a drawing program. Mm-hmm. And that code was probably developed over 10 years and showed a variety of programming styles over that period of time.
It's a very nice way of putting it.
That's the truth.
Yeah, and that was, C++ MFC application?
It was C++ MFC over the 10 years.
Right. Inline assembly, everything else.
It
right?
had inline assembly, yeah.
Great. Yeah. So it was your job and your team's job to make sure that you could actually bring this forward, make it look like the rest of the expression suite, and basically reface it using WPF. So can you tell me how you went about that?
Yeah, a little nip and tuck. plastic surgery. No, the way we did it was, well, we tried to figure out what the best process would be, right? Whether or not we should just rewrite it in MFC with a new look and feel. Whether we use something like Owner Draw to just change the colors. Mm-hmm. Or to go whole hog and do a full-up operation. And all of those, as you know, are pretty costly. Rewriting an MFC to have the new look and feel would have worked and would have worked well, but there would have been a large cost and we wouldn't have gotten any of the advantages that we have from using WPF. So that if we were to have changed the style,
right,
as we do every once in a while, we would have had to rewrite all that code.
Yeah, you're basically recreating a subset of WPF in C++ at that point.
Wouldn't have done it that way, but yeah, we would have gotten...
It's a good thing I wasn't coding it.
As with everything else, we would have cut corners to get it out the door.
Right.
And
right.
So it would have cost us over and over and over again to change the theming. And that's kind of why we said, well, let's see if we can do this, because at that time, it was not clear whether or not you could reface an existing unmanaged application with WPF and make it work well.
Right. So you guys were the first one.
As far as I know, yeah. This was the first example on a large scale of being able to do that.
Because Visual Studio is getting all the attention these days, but it all started here, folks.
We're part of DevDiv. We talk with our colleagues in the Visual Studio group, and we interact all the time. So, the proof of concept was in design.
Right. And you mentioned, there's at least one other product that...
Yeah, WPF application of Expression Web is going on. That's going a lot more slowly because there's a lot more stuff there to do. And the underpinning isn't MFC. It's a much more complicated underpinning.
Okay. Great. So why don't you tell me a little bit about how you went about it, and we'll look at some examples, and you can kind of explain how the WPF front end worked with the MFC back end and other stuff that we had talked about.
Sure. I'm not quite sure where to start. I gave a talk at the 2008 launch. I have a set of slides. Maybe I can pull up some of those to give
sure.
you an idea.
That might help visualize some of the interaction there.
Cool. Okay. So basically, the problem is a problem of What do you do? So what we really wanted to do, can you see that?
Can you pop that over on there?
Yeah, I can move it over to the other monitor.
Thanks.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically the idea is, how do you take a legacy MFC application, and we're not trying to say that it's an older car, and turn it into a much more interesting environment. That's essentially what we did with expression design. And the way we did it was we did not want to change the drawing surface. The drawing surface does a lot of stuff that's really, really important, like, you know, handling adorners, handling mouse input events, being able to do all the drawing, and that, there's a lot of code involved in doing that sort of stuff. So
right.
we said, okay, let's keep that, but what else can we change? And so what we did was we took all the other controls, and if you remember the slide, we just kind of ripped them off.
Yeah.
And leaving just this part, so throw that away. Well, once you throw that away, you've got a couple of interesting issues. What are you going to do? So essentially what we wanted to do was keep the MFC code that is, or the C++ code and the documents that are on the artboard, and kind of wrap it with this UI code, the new UI code, and then figure out how to shim it up together so it looks like an entire piece, right? That's what we'd like to have when we're done.
Yep.
The old drawing surface with new WPF stuff all around it, fairly complicated WPF stuff.
And again, the reason why you kept the older code in the drawing surface is that's really where the biggest investment was there.
Right. I mean, it was the majority of the code, the majority of the work, majority of the value was there, and there's no reason to throw away that work. But this is a great way to do a facelift, right?
Right.
The nip and tuck.
Great. All right, so let's take a look at design itself, if you can.
Sure.
And maybe you can explain a little bit about what's going on behind there when you play around with it.
Sure. So I'm going to move the mouse, and along the top here, the titles are all WPF. The toolbar is all WPF. Down here at the bottom, the status bar, the scroll bar is WPF. And off to the right here, all these controls and the scroll bar are WPF.
Okay.
This area in here is all MFC.
Great.
And we did it so that there was, and this is really an important step, we made sure there was only one message pump. And the message pump is the one we use for WPF, because you can't have two masters.
Okay.
It gets into a lot of complexity. And so this code is actually having WPF receive all the Windows messages and send them along to the drawing surface.
Yeah. So even on the drawing surface, you're saying WPF is the one that's intercepting those mouse movements and mouse down and whatnot, and sending them back to MFC.
Correct. And you can see that, you know, it's quite performant as
right.
I'm drawing various things.
This is all running on a laptop. So.
That is. That's running on a laptop. You know, I can pick out ellipse, I can change the colors, and various things like that. So it's very performant, and it's a very reasonable thing to do. A lot of people worry that when you do this sort of wrapping, you're going to lose all the speed and all the capability of the underlying, you know, C++ stuff. But no, we're finding that it's very reasonable. Obviously, if it's not performant in C++, it's not going to be performant in C#.
Right.
So there's no magic here. We're just saying that you're not being handicapped by it.
Right. There's not you're not paying a big penalty just for putting
right.
WPF's message pump on top of that.
Right.
Great. So what kind of problems did you run into, or tricks did you have to go through, and what was the process like?
So the way you write MFC and the way you write WPF are slightly different. WPF kind of wants more of a model view controller format. And the understanding of how to build UIs over 10, 15 years has changed dramatically. And so we were dealing with legacy code that had been developed over many, many, many years and had different approaches to it. And so typically in MFC code or C++ code, you'll have something like a switch statement, and the switch statement will be the result of some UI input. And it will do things, and those things may change the display, or they may change the underlying model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that is it's usually pretty dense code. And interspersing UI kind of changes, like changing the focus or changing the color of the display to say it's highlighted, versus things like changing the value of red, green, blue, which is going down to the model.
Right.
And that separation, because it's not clean, is the first place you need to start. You need to take that code, kind of divide it up into the code that's manipulating the UI and the code that's manipulating the data. It's a good thing to do because it cleans up your program anyway.
So So it's a good bit of refactoring.
It is. You know,
just to get it in a state that's somewhat similar architecturally to what you would do for a new application these days.
And the safest way to do that is fairly mechanically so that nothing breaks. Because if you go in and fix code as you're going along, a lot of times you're going to introduce new bugs. And we did. And we did.
Developers never introduce new bugs.
Yeah, never. Then once you have that clean separation, you can take the code, which is the model manipulation code, and start using it from a WPF perspective. Because WPF is the UI, you don't need the UI component of the MFC stuff. Mm-hmm. And that separation is really, really important, because now you've got the ability to do some really kind of interesting things, like have the same control operational from both MFC and WPF.
And interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to look at. Sorry, I don't have a demo.
Did you have? I think you have a slide.
Yeah.
Just so folks realize that it's really both sets of controls running side by side in the same application.
Right. So this is an example where these controls are the same as these controls, and you could move the color here, and that color adorner would move over here, or vice versa. I can move the color adorner here, and it would show up here. In fact, it helped us find a bug, because we had written the code that translated mouse position to color incorrectly in WPF, and as we were dragging it around in the MFC code, we noticed that it wasn't dragging the same way in the WPF code,
right?
And that helped us find that.
And that was just a weird thing that skipped past some of the other tests that you had.
And right,
it's
exactly.
Good to be able to visually do that. And I guess it enables a nice way to also do kind of a piecemeal migration, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have as strong a focus on the uniformity of look, but you're more just trying to bring your application into WPF, then this would enable you to do it kind of a piece at a time.
In fact, we've done that. We would take one or two controls, potentially, change them, and they would be WPF, and we could then embed the MFC palettes within this environment. So you could have it set up so some of the controls are WPF, some of the controls are MFC, as you have resources to do the move.
Okay. So refactoring to separate it out into a better pattern with some separation of concerns between what you have in your model and what you have manipulating the view. What other interesting tidbits do you have there to help folks out who might be considering this? To put you on the spot.
Sure, lots of things. You want to worry about focus and being able to control who's getting input. Design, for instance, is a drawing program, and drawing programs have interesting accelerator keys. One of the accelerator keys that design has is the space bar. Now, you'd think space bar doesn't sound like much of an accelerator key.
Right.
But a lot of the designers out there are used to products where if you hit space and left mouse, you're actually panning the artboard. So you've got to do some interesting things here. If your focus, for instance, is in one of the controls, let's say the color control, and you hit space mouse over the artboard and move it around, well, that should allow the artboard to move around. However, had your focus been in a text box, when you hit space, it really should generate a space,
even if
you're moving the mouse.
Right. Yeah, most of us don't usually think of space as kind of an accelerator.
So that's kind of some of the things that may not be as visible, but you have to deal with the controller end, and you have to be able to deal with knowing it locally as well as globally, like space overwriting when you're not in this context versus that context. So that's the sort of stuff that you're probably going to run into.
Great.
And there's some focus issues that you may run into depending on whether or not you have a floating window or not in WPF. Nowadays, that's much less of a problem with WPF 4.0 because you can actually turn off the way it automatically handles focus and do it yourself if you really need to, if it doesn't fit the style of interaction that you want your product to follow.
Great. Well, this is some very cool stuff you guys have done. And I understand I can find the slide deck online, so I'll post that in the notes for this. And looking forward to seeing a lot of other great stuff come out of your team.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.